Rick Tittle knows his sports.
I hate that guy.
I love that guy.
Oh my gosh, he's so fine. Rick Tittle brings home the bacon, fries it up in a pan, and then he eats it.
Ricky T in the hizzle for shizzle, biznatch.
Hey, welcome back to the show. Great to have you with us. Rick Tittle with you. Coast to coast and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. Is that how the song goes? I think so, something like that. 1-800-878-PLAY is the number to call and be a part of the equation. We'd love to hear from you. Once again, 1-800-878-7529. They'll get you in and get you heard, wherever you might happen to be listening in this great land of ours. Okay, foreign lands. I always used to think when I was younger, it's like, oh, I could easily live in a foreign country. Oh, yeah, for sure. Blah, blah. And then I realized that I would miss baseball too much. The other sports, I'm like, eh. I guess I would miss it, but still, baseball, I would miss the intrigue, the everyday ups and downs, ins and outs of baseball season. And I do love it, too. But, yeah, so foreign lands. Now, you guys are great. You guys are great. I got nothing against you. Mein Freund ist Ausländer, all that other stuff. We're here for you. 1-800-878-PLAY. We're on the TuneIn app. We're on the iHeartRadio app. We're on the Stitcher app. We'll stitch it up with you. Also, don't forget that you can be a part of the show by writing me an email, which is rick@sportsbyline.com. Once again, rick@sportsbyline.com. On Twitch. Twitch is just down the street from us, and they set us up with all this equipment 2 years ago. And you can see how great I look in my reading glasses on this webcam. It's high def, too. It's 1080p. Not kidding. HDRT. That's what we'll call this show from now on. HDRT. And so twitch.tv and look for Sports Byline. And there we are. There we is. Also on CRN Digital Plus 2, the cable radio network channel, junior cable provider. That's funny because that actually is a television set. And you can't see me. I know. It's weird. These kids today with their purple hair and their Sony Walkman, what can you do? All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come on back. Another comedian, Pat McGann.
The double play!
It's baseball season, and you're ready to go all out. So you ordered the essentials to make game day a success, like a jersey, a power recliner, and a bigger screen. And you used your Bank of America customized cash rewards credit card, choosing to earn 3% cash back on online shopping. Rewards that you put toward an essential piece of the celebration. An air horn. Apply for yours at bankofamerica.com/more rewarding. Copyright 2021, Bank of America Corporation.
Having your own home is awesome, but it's also a lot of work. The good news? Finding help for your projects is easier than ever. Introducing Angie, the app that puts all your home care needs at your fingertips. Need a pro to fix that emergency leak? Maybe find someone to build a deck, or even set your seasonal tasks on autopilot. Angie can handle all that and more. Expert pros, hundreds of home projects, clear pricing, and the easiest way to book and pay in seconds. This is Angie, your home for everything home. Download the app today.
I'm going to tell you how you can get real healthcare for as little as $6 a day. Yes, now you can get affordable healthcare for you and your family immediately and save as much as 50% off your current monthly healthcare payments. Our plans are perfect for people that are self-employed, can't afford health benefits where they work, or just want to pay less for their current healthcare. And coverage is guaranteed regardless of your medical condition. We even offer some of the new Christian faith-based health benefits. Save up to 50% on your family's health care. Make a free quick call now. There are no contracts, and we give you a 10-day money-back trial period. Call Provision Enrollment right now for your risk-free guaranteed health insurance quote starting at $6 a day.
800-472-5145. 800-472-5145. That's 800-472-5145.
Okay, we are running a car drive right now to help veterans all across America. So if you have an old car, truck, or van, even a motorcycle or an RV sitting around, you can right now give it away and help the vets. They really need your help. And your car will help support the vets and their families. And guess what? You even get a tax donation. Plus, we'll even come and pick up your car for free. And all you've got to do is pick up your phone right now and make a free call. Now is the perfect time to do something good for the vets. Give back to the vets right now for all they've done for this country. And your old car can really help them. So call the Veterans Car Donation Program right now for free pickup of your vehicle. Help the vets and help your taxes at the same time. Call right now.
800-215-6812. 800-215-6812. 800-215-6812. That's 800-215-6812.
It doesn't really matter. I don't like my job, and I don't think I'm going to go anymore.
Tittle thinks there's a direct correlation between dogs and lightning.
All right. Thank you for that. And welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you coast to coast and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. You know, I love the comedians, and it was great having Chris Porter in studio. Remember, check him out at Cobb's. But let's go across the country to Raleigh Goodnight. It's a great comedy club there in Raleigh. And we have their headliner this weekend. He's got two shows tonight and two shows tomorrow. It's Pat McGann. Pat, welcome to the show. And, you know, even though I worked in TV all through my 20s, I didn't get on the radio until I was in my 30s. And so I feel you. You didn't really start becoming a comedian until you were in your 30s, too. Is that right?
Yeah, that is right. Thank you, Rick, for having me. I really appreciate it, man. Thrilled to be on with you. Yeah, I started when I was like 31. I had a sales career. So I kind of was not really in the showbiz kind of field at all, other than I was selling packaging in Las Vegas to like Caesars and the Flamingo and, you know, like Celine Dion concert out there when you would go to like the gift shop and buy something. I was involved in like selling the bags that were in that store.
Hmm.
So it's kind of a different existence now.
I always feel that there are so many great athletes that were undiscovered, you know, beauty queens, comedians, and you were one of those guys. You could have easily just stayed in that career and been like the funniest guy at the office. So, but that wasn't enough for you. I like the fact that you said, screw it. And what was that like, a decision for your family when you're like, hey, I'm trying this?
Well, you know what? I had just met my wife. We were dating at the time. And it's been something that I was, you know, had in the back of my mind kind of eating at me. And I would fill out notebooks and write down stuff I thought was funny. And I always watched stand-up and, I kind of told her, it was like, kind of like a pipe dream, and she was like, you got to just go for it. You know, everybody's just somebody. Everyone's just from some place and gave it a shot. So I went to some open mics in Chicago where I live and just kind of like checked out the scene and was like, yeah, I guess I could do an open mic, you know, put 5 minutes together, and then it kind of snowballed from there.
And then, but they loved you at Zany's. You basically were kind of running that place for a while, right?
You know what? I was a house MC at Zany's, and that was the first real big step in my career. I got a ton of stage time. They're open every night of the week for stand-up. It's, you know, that club's been there for 40 years, kind of an iconic spot. So being in there hosting and seeing different comics every week coming through, it was a great, like, boot camp for me to get some experience.
So did you start going on the road and featuring? Did a couple of guys say, hey, you're funny, why don't you come do the Chuckle Hut with me?
Yeah, exactly. I had a bunch of people, you know, some mentors in the Chicago scene really came up through there. And then I would say my next big step was during those House MC days at Zany's, I met Sebastian Maniscalco. And mm-hmm. Sebastian asked me to start opening for him, and then I kind of became his guy, his opener the last several years, and kind of was on his ride. You know, he was selling out comedy clubs and then into theaters, and now he's selling out arenas. So the road has been, you know, a different experience being with him, because you're kind of like up in this high level, you know. But I certainly did the grind of the road too. And when I'm not with Sebastian, I'm still doing that, you know.
Well, your comedy is of the same vein, little kids, marriage. I mean, it seems like a good fit.
Yeah, you know, we're both from Chicago, and I was raised going to Catholic schools and stuff. He had a little bit of a different existence. But yeah, it's very similar in that we're both work fairly clean, and we're, you know, really just up there talking about our lives, you know.
No doubt. We're speaking with Pat McGann. He's at Raleigh Good Nights this weekend. It's funny when you think about, I was talking about undiscovered talent, that at one point working at the Beverly Hills Hotel in the restaurant was Sebastian Maniscalco and Sarah Tiana. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, exactly, right? I mean, that's how it's a total L.A. story, right?
Yeah, totally. You know, it's funny. I was talking about this story when Ryan Hamilton, who also works clean, when he was starting off in Rexburg, Idaho, he told the story about driving 6 hours into Montana, and he did a show for 20 minutes. No one listened. No one laughed. And then as he was leaving, the owner, this fat blonde lady, said, "Come here, I want to tell you something," gave him a huge headbutt. And so he drove 6 hours home with a big welt on his head for like $40. So... So for
you, got headbutt. You got a concussion. Oh my God!
So
I know Ryan. That's a great story. I never heard that one.
Yeah, ask him about that. But here's the thing: what was your headbutt story on the way up?
Oh man, my dad got me a gig when I first started. You know, it's a red flag when your dad is booking the gig,
uh-huh.
And it was his barber, who was off the boat from Italy. And he had this, May crowning. It was attached to, like, the Virgin Mary. It was, like, a religious event. Mm. And everyone there spoke Italian. Well, my dad booked me to do, like, 15 minutes in between. And it was, like, what are you doing here? I mean, people were literally staring. And it was, like, everything that you don't want in comedy. It was outside. There was, like, a DJ on stage with me. It was bad.
Now, speaking of the last year, did you do a lot of outsides or Zoom shows?
Oh, yeah. I did a bunch of a ton of virtual stuff. Really had to, like, lean into that, as weird as it was. And then, yeah, we were doing a bunch of outdoor stuff. I still live in Chicago, so that was difficult during the winter. But I stayed fairly busy. And you know what I did, though, dude? I became like my whole act, I talk about being a dad and, like, complaining about it. Meanwhile, I was gone the whole time. Now, I was actually a dad this past year.
Mm.
Like, now I actually have some stuff to talk about.
So I was thinking, like, on the way up when you got JFL, was it the kind of thing where the people would watch you and go, "You're close, but one more year," or did you get right in?
Oh, no, JFL I auditioned for several times, mm-hmm. and never got it. And that always is happening constantly. Every year, every few months, you submit for stuff you don't get. I mean, it's really... You probably get rejected 90% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's really those kind of numbers. But you just have to keep going. And you don't really look at it as rejection after a while. It's just kind of like, all right, not now, you know, not yet, rather than a hard no. You got to just kind of look at it as not yet and keep going.
Right. Last question for you. I know a lot of comedians, even in Chicago, they'll go to L.A. or New York, especially New York, if you think about it, you can do, you know, multiple spots, the Cellar, the Stand, the Strip, whatever. Did you think about doing that?
Think about doing multiple
No, like moving to New York or L.A.
I did think about that. You know what? But that's where the starting late kind of came in.
Mm-hmm.
I was, as I mentioned, like I just met my wife. I had the career, I had a mortgage, like it was just the timing for me was in my 30s, difficult to move. And then it just became apparent to me that unless I had a real specific reason, you know, that I would just kind of do as much as I could in Chicago.
Yeah. And I would imagine when people saw you on like Letterman, they're like, "Oh, it actually worked out, this whole thing."
Well, Well, yeah, that was a huge, that was a big goal for me, and I'm glad I was able to get on there before he retired, because he was like my idol growing up. But, dude, I got to tell you, because I know you're a big sports guy, and I am as well. I was having breakfast today here in Raleigh, right next to the NC State basketball team. Like, Coach Keats is there.
Wow.
So I invited the whole squad to the shows at Goodnight's this weekend, and they countered with an invite to come watch the team work out. So I'm going over there in like an hour to check out the Wolf Pack, which I'm fired up about. I've never been to NC State, so it's going to be cool.
Wow, give them the V sign and give them the Jimmy V never give up.
You know it, right?
Yeah, that sounds cool.
Definitely will.
Hey, Pat, if you're ever doing Cobbs or the Punchline out here in San Francisco, we'd love to have you in studio, man.
That's a huge goal of mine. I've never done either of those clubs, and San Francisco is one of my favorite cities in the world. I definitely want to get there, man.
Everybody go to goodnightscomedy.com. Pick up tickets tonight and tomorrow there in Raleigh for Pat McGann. Pat, great having you on, man, and we'll catch up down the road.
Excellent, man. Thanks for having me. Have a great weekend.
All right, good stuff. I'm Rick Tittle. Come on back.
Who's watching? Tell me who's watching. Who's watching me?
Do you have a home that you don't want anymore? We can buy it from you within 24 hours, any home, size, or condition. For over 20 years, we've been buying homes for cash and helping homeowners sell their homes immediately, with no listings or strangers walking through your home. Are you moving? Did you lose your job? Going through a divorce? Whatever the reason, if you're in a bind and you know that you need to sell your house fast, call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. We'll make you a serious cash offer to buy your home in 24 hours and let you walk away from it. No listing, no waiting. Sell any home, any size, any condition, now. Call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. Make this free call now.
800-306-1760, 800-306-1760, 800-306-1760, that's 800-306-1760.
Hey travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1780. 855-325-1780. That's 855-325-1780.
Matthew.
Huh? Oh, sorry.
It's okay. I just need you to listen to me.
I know that a lot of times, Mom, it might not seem like I'm listening to you, but I am. I hear you. And what you say really does matter to me.
I mean, let's be honest. No kid likes rules, but I get why we have them. I hear you, and I know it's because you care.
All the talks we've had over the years, including what you've told me about not using alcohol and other drugs, they stick with me. And believe it or not, they really do make a difference, especially at times that matter most.
Hey, want a drink?
No, thanks. I'm good. So thank you, Dad, for talking and preparing me for what's ahead.
Thanks, Mom, for never giving up and always being my biggest fan.
Thank you for letting me know what you expect, so I can try to meet your expectations.
Thank you for talking.
For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
You spent over a decade in the Middle East, and I just wanted to say that I'm a great fan of your work.
Well, thank you very much.
Don't interrupt me, please. Thank you. What did I just say?
We'll be right back.
You must be crazy. Use a D-O-G. And if you was my man, I would have been kicked you out of my house by now. This is what had happened.
Thank you for that. And welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you coast to coast and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. It's great to welcome to the show filmmaker Ryan Ferguson. He has directed and produced and is also the director of photography for a new movie called Skate or Die. And this is a full-length feature film. Ryan, congratulations on the project. How did this all get off the ground?
Thank you so much. Well, it's a long story, seeing that I worked on this for over a decade. But it actually all started with a article in Chicago Tribune I read. God, this would have been maybe 2008, that long ago. It was a story about this rise in urban skateboarding in Chicago and how it was taking hold in communities that were both unexpected traditionally in terms of the history of skateboarding, but also communities that are, you know, very rough and have very strict gang boundaries, where kids, you know, grow up knowing what streets they're not allowed to cross by age 8 years old or something. And this article was just all about how the skateboard, you know, was this figurative and literal vehicle that allowed these kids to traverse these boundaries and meet, you know, people from the suburbs and from all over the city and just expand their world. And I could just see the film in my head as I was reading this, and reached out to the reporter, Azam Ahmed, on a whim. We met for coffee and just hit it off, and he came on as a producer, and the two of us spent, gosh, maybe a year and a half just interviewing kids and trying to kind of find the story. And then, funny enough, Leo Castillo, who has become the main character of Skate or Die, was one of the first kids we interviewed at the time. I think he was about 18. And we actually decided he was too old for this story. And we were looking, you know, for maybe someone who was 13 and just kind of in the middle of the thick of it, where they're actively being recruited by gangs and just getting into skateboarding, you know, some kind of looking for the drama. And sure enough, about a year later, after we had been following these other stories, Leo was shot by a stray bullet just standing on his mom's porch. Thankfully, one of his friends, you know, thankfully he's all right, first of all, shot the leg. One of his friends let me know that night, and I went and met the next morning and went to the hospital with him, and basically then followed his story for the next 4 years, 4.5 years from that point. And the gunshot wound propelled him in this incredible direction that involved mentoring younger kids and sort of brought that whole thing we were looking for full circle. And he was, you know, trying to keep his younger brother out of the gang and move his family off that block and, you know, help build a skate park in the neighborhood, and just a whole slew of things that came from this very, you know, sad hurdle for him. So that's the history of it, essentially.
Yeah, no, it's fascinating. I always wonder, when people make movies like this, and you talk about years of following someone, I always wonder, when do they stop? Like, when the story, like, there's a happy ending or maybe a bad ending, or you run out of money, or you have a falling out. How did you feel like, okay, now we have the film?
Right. You know, that's such a great question, because it's completely subjective and different for every project. For Skate or Die, I'd say, you know, that was something that weighed on me for a few years. In fact, there was definitely times where I was in the slog of it, where I'm, you know, I'm 3 years in and Leo's teaching an after-school program 3 days a week, and I'm going to the school with him, you know, while he's working with kids. And definitely you're in the middle of that, like, what am I doing? Like, is anyone going to care about any of this? You know, is this going anywhere? And you really do start to kind of get in the weeds and lose perspective. And I think that's, I have to give a lot of credit to Zeb Smith, who's our editor on this, who, you know, working with an editor, I think, can give you a lot of clarity, because he was able to pull out scenes and parts of the story, you know, that I just never would have thought of. And it really started to give me confidence that this was something people will enjoy. Now when you finish is a totally different question, and it is like a challenge. I mean, I think with Skate or Die, it was kind of a natural progression for me, because sort of all these storylines are introduced, you know, is his gunshot wound and all of these subsequent things that come from that. And then they all do sort of get wrapped in a nice little bow within a couple of years. And in fact, I will say that I found that I didn't really like that part, to be honest. Like, I don't find an honest documentary that tends to have a Hollywood ending. You know, it's in my my feeling was that, you know, the movie ends and Leo still wakes up the next day in this really rough neighborhood without a high school diploma, without any mentors. You know, like, he's still in the same place, just trying hard to get through. And so I really worked hard that despite every storyline gets wrapped in a bow and he's the hero and he, you know, I don't want to give too much away, but like a lot of great things happen throughout and a lot of interesting things and twists and turns. And, it was really important to me to kind of bring it to ground it at the end and sort of bring you back to the reality that, yeah, the movie ends, but the story goes on, you know, life goes on. I kind of see every documentary sort of ends with a dot, 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 you know, in my opinion. So I don't know if that answers your question, because it's like,
It's a great answer, and that's the thing. By the way, we're speaking with Ryan Ferguson, the film SF DocFest, Skate or Die. Do you have people who hear Skate or Die and think, I've seen it at some millennials on YouTube grinding on a rail, and you're like, no, this is actually real Skate or Die here.
Yeah, and it's funny, because it's a bit of a, you know, cliche in the skateboard world. I mean, Skate or Die as a term goes back to the 70s, literally. And then, I mean, I grew up in the 80s and 90s, you know, where the original Nintendo skateboard games were called Skate or Die. And I mean, this is an old skateboarding cliche. And of course, it hit me when the story came up that it's like, you know, well, now it's finally literal is the idea. And so we kind of used that as this temporary title, sort of waiting for something better to come along, you know, something that was less maybe cliche or less, and it just is such a fit thematically and such a fit for, you know, it's almost commenting on the cliche, like, you know, finally it really is Skate or Die. And so, yeah, I find it to be an interesting title, because I think within people who know it, you know, they I don't know, it rings differently for different folks. So, I mean, I've had, you know, people who don't know anything about the history of skateboarding or don't know anything about the niche culture and will just comment on how blunt and, you know, how the title just kind of cuts to the core. And it really does. Like, a Skate or Die is a pretty, pretty blunt title. And so I found it works on a lot of different levels. And I'll tell you what, I don't know if this answers your question either, but I did some rough cut screenings. I mean, this has been a long ordeal getting this out in the world, but we did a couple rough cut screenings early on in the edit in Washington DC and in Chicago, and both times I was so thrilled at how much the story resonated with senior citizens and, you know, just with folks that I knew was not Leo's peers, or was not folks from the skateboard community, or not people who have any interest in that sport or any interest in even urban, you know, stories or whatnot. And the story itself as a human story just seems to really pull people in, and they really root for him, and they really, you know, get sucked in. And I've always found that to be one of the most redeeming parts, because as much as it's quote unquote about skateboarding, in a real sense, it's not at all. It's a, you know, human story about a kid who's really has everything stacked against him. I mean, just one anecdote. I mean, he watched his brother killed in front of him at 14 by the police. His brother, who was a gang hitman, you know, I mean, this is the life he grew up in, and his uncles were gang members, you know, he grew up in, this is a family legacy for him. And so in a lot of ways, all the cards were stacked against him, and it's, you know, the skateboarding is a mechanism, it's a thing, it's a passion for him. I find it, you know, I grew up skateboarding, so to me it was just like, it flipped this thing on its head that I always loved. But at the end of the day, I consider myself a storyteller, and am looking for human stories that, you know, can reach everybody. And I think if I'm proud of anything, it's hopefully achieving that.
Well, great stuff from Ryan Ferguson, director, producer, and DP of the film Skate or Die, part of SF DocFest. You can go to sfindy.com for tickets. And also did A Week to Kill, Falling Around Hannibal Buress, which was a really cool film as well. Congratulations on the film, Ryan, and let's catch up on your next one, man.
Yeah, thanks so much for doing this. I really appreciate it, and I hope everyone enjoys it.
All right, good stuff. Once again, Ryan Ferguson, and the film is Skate or Die. Coming up next, we're going to talk to slackliner Spencer Seabrook. And this guy, you know, you think about the flying Walendas and tightrope walkers. This guy is more nuts than all of them. And we'll see what's going on in his cranium when we come back.
It's time for some straight talk. You've got real work to do, but everyone's sucking up the free Wi-Fi faster than a Mocha Choco double frap on ice. So be your own hotspot. Now with Straight Talk Wireless, get 10 gigs of hotspot data with the Ultimate Unlimited plan. Just $55 a month on America's largest and most dependable networks. You don't have to find a hotspot. You are the hotspot. Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
Compatible device required. See straighttalk.com.
Ready for an oil change? The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are here to help. We'll make sure you have all the supplies you need to make the job quick and easy. Right now, get 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil for just $28.95. Plus, get a $10 gift card after mail-in rebate. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Prescription products require completion of an online consultation with an independent healthcare provider and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. See website for more details and safety information.
You've loved her since the day you first met her. You've loved her through the good times and the bad. There's nothing you wouldn't do to make her happy. You may be older now, but that doesn't mean your love will ever change. ED happens, and it happens to about 50% of men over the age of 40. Visit RexMD.com and show her your love has never changed and never will. RexMD.com has helped thousands of men. Here's how RexMD.com works. Just fill out a brief survey, and if appropriate, you can get FDA-approved ED medication, which are currently available to new customers. Your consultation is free. There's no copays, no doctor office visits, and your shipping is always free. At RexMD.com, we've made the process fast, easy, and affordable. Don't wait another minute. RexMD.com is now offering sample pack prescriptions of ED medication. Visit RexMD.com right now. That's REXMD.com.
My doctor prescribed me Viagra. It wasn't covered by my insurance, so it was costing me like $65 a pill. That's expensive.
Over 20 million guys like us use Viagra. Over a certain age, we just need it. I found a way to pay less than $3 a pill and get virtually the same effect of the $65 pill. I heard an ad just like this on the radio called, and for $99, I got 40 generic versions of the $65 pill. Save yourself money and call right now and get over 40 pills for $99. There's no embarrassment here to use Viagra. If we're over 50, we need it, but not at high prices. Call now with your credit card and get the 40 pill special for just $99.
800-399-3691. 800-399-3691. That's 800-399-3691.
Hi, this is Rick Tittle. Tune in every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Pacific Time for the Video Game Review. We'll review games, we'll give away a brand new game, we'll talk cheat codes, new releases, and your calls as well. That's right here every Sunday night on the Sports Byline USA Broadcast Network.
If you missed something from today's show, you can find it now on iHeartRadio Talk. That's iHeartRadio.com/talk.
You're crazy, man. You're crazy. I like you. But you're crazy.
Cause we can't.
saw Rick Tittle at the laundromat last night, and I was hella checking him out. I just kept staring at him, and he played like I wasn't even there. I be like that then.
All right, that's a lot. Welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you, coast to coast and around the world on American Forces Radio Network. Discovery Plus has an all-new series which follows around an elite group of fearless highliners who are pushing the line, and that's the name of the show, Pushing the Line, and it's going to be tomorrow on Discovery Plus, and we're going to talk to one of those people right now. It is Spencer Seabrook, and he is a slackliner in Canada, and I was watching a video of him on the slack line, and to say that it was perilous would be an understatement. First of all, Spencer, welcome to the show. For the people who don't know what slacklining is, how would you describe it?
Hi there, Rick. Thanks for having me. Slacklining is basically just balancing on a piece of webbing, on like a flat piece of either nylon or polyester or some high-tech material. Just piece of webbing that's, you know, stretched tight between two anchor points.
So this is not like the Willendas where you have a tight wire in between the twin towers, right?
Yeah, no, that's right. What we walk on is very dynamic and moves around a lot. So, you know, if the wind's blowing left to right, then the line's going to be sitting, you know, pushing to the left, you know, and you know, if you bounce up and down, the line will bounce up and down, where a tightrope, that's, you know, where fatalities happen when it's not stabilized and the line ends up moving. But we are ready for things like that.
Yeah, but how are you ready? I mean, I watched this video of you in Canada where you slip and fall and you grab on, you know, for your life, literally, and then you get back up. I mean, what... There's no.
Well, what you watched there was actually free solo highlining. So that's a very small percentage of the time, a very small percentage of the people will take their safety equipment off and attempt to walk the line without it. You know, there's a long discussion on why, but how is you practice for years and you get to a point where you know you can do it. And I didn't slip. I simply just knew it wasn't the right moment, and I looked down, I grabbed the line, and I kind of reset and then started again.
So you went off the line and grabbed on and saved your own life on purpose.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's for me, you know, whether you're tied into a leash or not, you're always checking your safety equipment. And for me in that moment, my safety equipment was my bare hands. So once I stood up and I'm on my feet and you're, you know, that's where first gets real. And I wasn't feeling it in the first. I actually caught the line twice. I first just stood up and didn't feel it. So then I just sat down, you know, grabbed the line and, you know, let out a nice little scream and, you know, get that anxiety out of my chest. And then I stood up and did it again, took one step. And then I decided again, okay, this isn't it. So I scooched back the couple of steps and then stood up and then sent it.
Yeah.
And at the time, that was the world record longest free solo ever done.
Yeah, I heard a lot of grunts. That just kind of helps you just release whatever tension you have.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, some people do it silently, breathing, calm, but not me. For me, it's like you're pushing yourself every step that you're taking. The difference of feeling that you get when you're tied in versus not tied in is just night and day. You know, all the training you can do with a leash on will never really let you experience the feeling of not being tied in.
And you hate wearing shirts.
Well, you know what? It gets pretty warm here in the summer. So, you know, you got to work on that tan.
A couple more questions for Spencer Seabrook here on Pushing the Line Discovery Plus. When you said, you know what, I am going to go untethered, I'm sure people that cared about you were like, no, you're not. So what was that like?
Well, you just don't tell those people until you're done doing it, right? Yeah, you know, you definitely, you know, I've been, you know, doing dangerous things. I mean, it's kind of progressively gone with my age, you know, it's kind of whatever as I've gotten older, it's kind of gotten progressively more dangerous. And, so I guess I've eased my parents into it, you know.
So Slack Life.
And now we're just at a level.
Yeah, Slack Life BC is the company, and this sport is really booming now, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I started about 9 years ago. I started slacklining for the first time, and there was very little people doing it. And now the sport has just progressed beyond what any of us ever thought that it would 9 years ago. And now, you know, there's communities around the world, and there's, you know, specialized equipment for it, where before we were just kind of using either industrial or climbing equipment that, you know, kind of just using it in a different way. But now there's equipment designed to do it safely. There's rigorous testing that's been done. And, you know, as long as you're using your leash and you're using your head, it's actually a really safe, really cool sport to get out and do.
I know over here in Oakland, down by Lake Merritt, Oakland has a downtown lake that they have a lot of guys who will string these things up. They look kind of like canvas straps in between trees, and they're up there trying it too. So that's just some like slackline training, huh?
Oh no, absolutely. Well, that's slacklining, man. It's like, you know, when the weather isn't good, or if you don't have the place to go highlining, it's like we go set up in the park. And it's just a great thing. You know, when you're on the line, you're by yourself. But you spend so much time off the line that it's really like the community and the friends around you that make it special.
So when people say, how'd you get your start? And you say, I was selling cement in Calgary.
No, you know, it was actually when I moved to Vancouver and some childhood friends of mine, they had already started rock climbing and doing a bit of mountaineering. And there's just a load of it to do around here. So I was, you know, up to my neck and things that are, you know, just adventuring around in the mountains. And then I actually watched a video about Andy Lewis, who's another cast member on the show. And he's, you know, he's been slacklining and highlining and base jumping for years. And I watched his documentary, and it changed my life. You know, from that day, I was like, all right, this is what I'm going to do. And, you know, I don't ever say something and not do it, and here I am now.
It's
been a wicked ride.
How is the cement business these days?
Yeah, it's good. I still do it. You know, I'm actually going to go pour some concrete this afternoon. There's something about it. I just love it. I like working. I like being busy, and I like working with my hands.
So you did a commercial down in Texas, and then you went to China as well, and they're throwing some cash at you. That's got to be pretty cool.
Well, yeah, it's been a pretty cool thing, you know, being able to travel around the world, and you know, when they format it in a way that it's exciting for people to watch. Like, you know, we would do speed line competitions where there's two lines and you're racing next to each other. And yeah, for like commercials, you know, it was actually really great. They compared how highlining looks very dangerous, but because I've researched, I've calculated, I know what I'm doing, it's mitigated all of those risks. Just like this private investment firm that, you know, is willing to invest all your money, but because they've done their research and they've done their calculations, they're actually doing it quite safe.
Well, no, I
so,
get it.
You know, there's a ton of metaphors you can pull out of it, you know.
So let's talk about pushing the line. Discovery Plus, I mean, they get better ratings than network TV. A lot of people are watching this stuff. How did that all come together?
You know, we were working with our, you know, kind of developing this show, and Discovery Channel got on board, and I think they were actually just, you know, perfect. I've grown up watching Discovery Channel, and, yeah, what I love about it is you watch think on Discovery, and then you're all fired up to get out and do stuff. It's not like you're stuck to the TV just watching something else, you know, that's just trying to keep you there. it took a little while to get things rolling, but we all met up last year in Moab, Utah, and a healthy crew of some rad slackliners and climbers and base jumpers we planned out a few different projects and man, we succeeded. We succeeded a lot. It was a lot of fun.
I've had Andy Lewis on my show before, and he's part of it as well.
Yeah. We're basically in his stomping grounds down in Moab, Utah, and I guess if you've talked to Andy before, you know he is quite the character. So everyone could definitely look forward to seeing who Andy Lewis is. If you haven't, if you don't know yet, you definitely will after watching the show.
And then last question for you. You said you're always active, you're always going. What's next? Are you going to be on to a new thrill, or are you going to keep perfecting this?
Well, over the last couple of years, I've been doing a lot of base jumping. My ideal day would be where I rock climb to the top of a mountain, I walk a high line, and then I jump down and land back at the car. That's an ideal day. So, however I can mix that up and come up with different adventures, maybe there's no ropes and the parachute is also my safety while I'm climbing or walking across the line. So I'm just trying to progress in all of my disciplines so that I can eventually mix them all together.
A couple of days ago, I had Matthias Giroud on the show, and super Frenchy. He's the king of the base jumpers.
Man, he is a badass. Yeah, he is super cool. I'm looking forward to his thing coming out.
Yeah, all right.
But we're not here to talk about that.
No, we're here to talk about Discovery Plus tomorrow, Pushing the Line. Make sure to check it out and check out. You won't believe the video of Spencer Seabrook. I mean, you really won't. It's some crazy. You are crazy, man, but it's a compliment.
Well, what I think is crazy is sitting in the desk talking into a microphone all day, man. So, to each her own.
All right, fair enough. Fair enough. You zinged me right back. Thanks for coming on, Spencer. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me, Rick.
All right. I'm Rick Tittle. Come on back on Sports Bio.
Attention to anyone that's written a book or wants to write a book. The process is not that complicated. Take a first step. Even if you write a page a day, you'll build momentum and your book will become a reality. The hard part is getting it published. That's when you need to call Page Publishing. They've got hundreds and hundreds of thank yous from different new authors, just like you. They make the process of publishing your new book and getting it sold online a simple process. You can learn how simple it is right now by calling for your free Page Publishing new author submission kit. One quick 3-minute phone call, that's all it takes to get free information and learn how you can get your book published. Pick up your phone right now and call us 24 hours a day at this number. 800-603-0885. 800-603-0885. 800-603-0885. That's 800-603-0885.
Have you written a book? You can become a published author with Dorrance Publishing, the nation's oldest publishing services company. Countless authors have trusted Dorrance for nearly 100 years to bring their book to the market. Our professional team will edit your text, design your book pages, and create an appealing, eye-catching custom cover. Plus, our authors benefit from a custom book promotion marketing campaign that makes your book available where people buy books, like Amazon and brick-and-mortar bookstores. So make this free call right now to claim your free author's guide to publishing. Don't wait another day. Take one step closer to realizing your dream of becoming a published author and seeing your name in print. You've already written a book, so the next thing to do is make this free call right now to Dorrance Publishing and get your free guide to publishing. Call right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Come on, you watch the news. Be prepared to pay more taxes. Then if you owe back taxes or haven't filed in a few years, get ready. The IRS, the largest collection agency in the world, will be coming after you with the power to collect taxes by any means they want to. Hey, they can freeze your bank account, your passport, even padlock your business. Good times. Look, if the IRS claims you owe them $5,000 or more in back taxes and they're coming after you, Don't panic. Call my friends at Get a Tax Lawyer first. Their job is to negotiate with the IRS and save you money. They're experts at it. That's all they do. And you can trust them. In some cases, they have reduced a $50,000 tax bill to less than $1,000. If you owe the IRS $5,000 or more in back taxes, call now for a free consultation.
Call 800-732-9635. 800-732-9635. 800-732-9635. That's 800-732-9635.
Oh, come now. Don't be ashamed. We all have our idiosyncrasies.
I wish you would try and slap Rick Tittle's mama's face. He would clown you.
Oh, he would clown me. A couple of minutes left in the show. And Team USA, I was mentioning yesterday, this is the first time in quite some time that I am actually interested in the United States men's national team, because for 3 years it was pretty embarrassing how horrifying they'd been. They missed out on a World Cup cycle, et cetera. And, they had a lot of young, they have a lot of young stars now, or at least guys who are on the up and up. And yesterday they played against, Honduras, and they won 1-0. It was a 89th minute goal, and they didn't look great, but the goal was scored by Jordan Sabachu. His real name is Teosin Jordan Sabachu Payfolk. He plays for the United States on a technicality, and I like it, because a lot of players around the world on technicality. His parents are French, but they're originally from Cameroon. And they were in Washington, D.C. when Jordan was born. And they went directly back to France. And so he grew up. He was a part of the youth setup at the Stade de Reims. And then he went to Girondin de Bordeaux. And then he finally made his senior debut with Rennes. And but because he was born in the United States, he's an American citizen. And so he qualified for the Cameroon and also France. So once this was found out, and he was a French youth international. And then, of course, to make the senior French team is nearly impossible. But once they found out about him, and he's 25, he's not super young, but they put out a feeler a couple months ago and they said, hey, do you want to play for the United States? And he was like, these other countries don't want me. Absolutely. And so it's pretty amazing. He scores the winning goal. He's only been on the team for 2 months. And he plays for Young Boys. That's a team in Switzerland where he scored 12 goals this year. And so he's 6'3". I like it. This is what we have to do. We have to weed through everything to find these guys who can actually play soccer. A former French youth international, sign him up. A nice goal, too, by the way. I'm Rick Tittle. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you Monday, 9 a.m.